The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the August 2020 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Right on the cover, we have a picture of NBA's bright stars, Trae Young. And some of the things we'll be considering this particular article, pitch a patch of pixeled players, our dream video games, lost time, the greatest seasons that never were, rebooting. And then about Trae Young. While Trae Young and the rest of the world wait in the present, we have ideas to blast sports into the future. Two words, jetpack baseball. And the lineup. We have freeze frame, page 2, sports cards, page 7, the treehouse, page 9, birthdays, page 16, future star, page 17, posters, page 27, what's the call, page 52, games, page 53, art gallery, page 54, and Buzz Beamer, page 56. Taking a stand, Black Lives Matter. Page 18, athletes protesting this summer, such as Hawks star Trae Young, are following in the footsteps of past activists. We also have Lin Sanity is still alive and well in China. Humble suggestion for rebooting sports, page 31. Page 40, fans have missed out on what could have been historic seasons, page 40. Page 44, pixel pitches. Here are some video games we'd like to see. Page 46, these birthday boys and girls provided gifts for their fans, epic performances. And page 48, what if LeBron James had bolted from the NBA to the NFL? Here are our first freeze frame, page 2. Great deal of people around. Wave of support, June 3rd, Encinitas, California. As Black Lives Matter protests took place around the country, a group of surfers assembled at Moonlight State Beach to send a message of solidarity. At a different paddle out, Hawaiian tradition to honor a lost life in Santa Monica, California, surfers in the Pacific Ocean arranged their boards in the shape of a heart. Second freeze frame, we have Butterfly Effect, May 24th, 2020, Louisville, Kentucky. How's an Olympic swimmer supposed to train when she can't use a pool? By improvising. Kelsey Dahlia, who won a gold medal at the 2016 Games in Rio de Janeiro, built a small pool in her backyard. It has a harness that allows her to practice her specialty stroke, the butterfly. Without it keeping her in place, she'd have some seriously fast lap times. And we have Who's Who in Sports, page 8. Alex Bowman, Hendrick Motorsports driver. On March 1st, 2020, Bowman won his second career Cup Series race at Fontana Speedway. As of June 2nd, he was fifth place in the NASCAR standings. In 2019, Bowman's first full season with Hendrick Motorsports, he made the playoff field and finished 12th. Did you know, Hendrick Motorsports has a NASCAR Cup Series record 12 championships, 7 by Jimmy Johnson, 4 by Jeff Gordon, and 1 by Terry Labonte. Then we have Aaliyah Boston, South Carolina Gamecocks. She's a forward. In her first season at South Carolina, Boston was named 2020 Division I Freshman of the Year. She averaged 12.5 points, 9.4 rebounds. Boston had a triple-double in her first game with 12 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 blocks, a mark that tied the school record. A native of the United States Virgin Islands, Boston moved to Worcester, Mass. At age 12. Did you know, however, South Carolina set a school record with 32 wins against just one loss in 2019-2020. Her height, by the way, is 6'5". She was born December 11, 2001. Her hometown, St. Thomas, United States Virgin Islands. And finally for today, we have Aubrey Bledsoe, Washington Spirit goalkeeper. After leading the league in saves, 86, and finishing second with 9 shutouts, Bledsoe was named the NWSL Goalkeeper of the Year. The previous season, she set the league record for saved in a season with 108. Last October, she received her first call-up to the United States national team, but did not play. Did you know? Bledsoe picked up another Goalkeeper of the Year award in 2019. She won it in Australia's Women's League while on loan with Sydney Football Club. Aubrey's height is 5'8". She was born November 20th, 1991, in her hometown, Cincinnati, Ohio. Rebooting sports. Jetpack, page 9. Baseball. Well, we put a photo here, and we have some folks talking. Jetpack baseball? That sounds dangerous. Who came up with that? Well, I don't remember. So we have people tick, 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 tick. One day earlier, the guys are in the room. They're thinking. They're working. They're coming up with things. And then someone says, what about jetpack baseball? Hey, Whit, you got a better idea than jetpack baseball? Zero gravity baseball, says Whit. Whit, you're a genius. Penny, take this to the sandlot before they hurt themselves. And photograph the other experiments on your way down. Roger that. So next now, canopy lacrosse would work better if the ball didn't blend in with the leaves. Well, it looks cool. This is my ride. Plop. As they zoom around in their go-karts. Go-kart football is great until you take your eyes off the road to keep your eye on the ball. Crash. We need to figure this out before they add it to Rocket League. Gotta eject. Oop. See ya. Skydiving tag. You're it. I'm not playing. What? New order from the canopy. It was only a matter of time. Wait here if you want to shoot it. And then baseball. Skydiving. Pictures. Zoom. Bow. Basketball. Swish. I think we nailed it. How about Zero G League for the headline? It'll work. Now, where's Art Gallery? Rebooting sports. At our warm-up, the best sports haven't been invented yet. Well, as you probably noticed in those last three pages, my colleagues are desperately trying to reboot sports. Have you ever heard the phrase, you can't put lipstick on a pig? We have a similar saying around the SI Kids treehouse. You can't put a jetpack on a baseball player. Okay, it's not really a saying, but I just said it. Well, I wrote it. Whatever you get the point. The point is, there's no need to future-proof modern sports. The best sports ever have yet to be invented, and I can prove it. What makes our favorite sports so special? Perhaps they emerged like the Homo sapiens through a process of natural selection, leaving lesser game behind, or are they special because they're on television and people pay money to watch them in person? That can't be the criteria. The Masked Singer is on TV and people may pay money to see Maroon 5. The sports we now have are just that, the sports we now have. The big four North American sports, baseball, football, basketball, and hockey, have been around for about 150 years each. That may seem like forever to us people born with computers that can play virtual pinball, but your grandparents had likely never heard of a quarterback or a starting pitcher. Prehistoric cave paintings show our ancient ancestors running and wrestling. Compared with the 10,000-year history of those sports, 128 summers of basketball have passed in a blink of an eye. You think that Steph Curry's record of 402 three-pointers in a season is important and future athletes will obsess with breaking it forever? But no one is still chasing the mark for biggest woolly mammoth felled by a spear, famously said by Hank P. Caveman in 34,742 BCE. Take running and wrestling. If they have survived this long, does that make them the best? Nobody paid for front-row seats to a race. They're just natural human instincts. If someone takes your Nintendo Switch, they run and you try to wrestle them. The esports probably started similarly when one caveman stole the prehistoric equivalent of the Switch, the N64, from another. Sports have always been determined by the available technology. Show a time traveler from the future a baseball hat, and he might ask you why you would make a lightsaber out of wood and why you were wearing your pants on your legs. At this point, if you haven't crumpled up in your magazine into a little ball, and congrats if you have, it's tough to do with those cardboard trading cards. You're drafting a sterny, worded email about how your favorite sport will exist forever. But I'm just one two-dimensional cartoon kid meekly suggesting a brighter three-dimensional future. You think your favorite sport is your favorite sport only because you haven't seen what I'm working on. Imagine a game with the speed of hockey, the scoring of basketball, and the tactics of football. It perfectly balances the exhilaration of NASCAR with the quiet, reflective moments of baseball. At the highest level, it blends esports and regular sports with virtual reality technology, yet it's low-tech enough that anyone, anywhere, can pick it up and play. No, seriously, imagine it. Do I have to come up with everything around here? Moonwalk. Modern technology limits today's sports. As science progresses, athletes might look like this red fella. Is he winning? Is he losing? Check back in 10,000 years. Finally, a shoe for kids who love style and ice cream equally. Nike teamed up with Ben and Jerry to create the Chunky Dunky. It takes the classic dunk low and incorporates several touches you'd see on a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Green hills, blue skies, cows. The best part, the swoosh appears to be melting. If you happen to be eating an ice cream cone on a hot day while wearing them, don't worry about dripping. Puny numbers. The name numeral combos on the backs of these athletes' jerseys are unusually clever. Jordan Tutu. In addition to wearing his number 22 jersey, Preds fans paid tribute to the winger's last name by tooting train whistles. Kevin Love. Love is zero in tennis, but it might be a coincidence. Love once negatively compared lonely rehab workouts to playing tennis. Bo Schaefe, the former Titans tight end, used Tennessee square numbers to spell his first name with the number 80. Steve Hines, this catch-up enthusiast played as Boston's number 23 for 8 seasons before embracing his destiny. Hines, 57. And Jim Otto, the number 0 can be pronounced as ought or as O. So for the NFL Hall of Famer, he wore O-O, Otto, Otto. Warm up. The grid. What job would you want to do if you weren't an athlete? And we're asking this to Tennessee Titans cornerback Adoree Jackson, Atlanta Hawks guard Trey Young, and USWNT defender Abby Dahlkemper. Well, Adoree Jackson says, my family is full of chefs, so I think I would try my hand in the kitchen. I'd also explore real estate. Trey Young says anything related to helping kids who have been bullied. And Abby says fashion stylist or hairstylist. Next question. Favorite actor or actress? Adoree Jackson says Denzel Washington. Trey Young says Denzel Washington. Abby Dahlkemper says Jim Carrey. Favorite emoji, the stylish dresser, the crybaby, says Abby, and the flake, snowflake, says Trey Young. What sound do you most associate with your sport? Adoree Jackson, the clicking of your helmet and sound of adjusting it. Trey Young says the splash, and Abby Dahlkemper, heavy breathing. Favorite fictional character? Hands down, SpongeBob SquarePants, says Adoree Jackson. Superman, says Trey Young, and Mushu from Mulan, says Abby Dahlkemper. If you were cast as 007, who would record your theme song? Adoree Jackson says, the Saint Lunatics from my hometown in East St. Louis. Trey Young says, Drake. And Abby Dahlkemper says, Justin Bieber. Favorite book? Salt in His Shoes by Dolores Jordan, says Adoree Jackson. Mamba Mentality by Kobe Bryant, says Trey Young. Love Warrior by Glennon Doyle, says Abby Dahlkemper. Favorite athlete growing up? Michael Jordan. In football, it was Reggie Bush, says Adoree Jackson. Steve Nash, says Trey Young. And Mia Hamm, says Abby Dahlkemper. And finally, if someone wanted to name a sandwich after you, what would be on it? Well, Adoree Jackson says it will be called the Deuce. Turkey breast, chicken breast, provolone cheese, lettuce, tomato, green peppers, my secret salt and vinegar sauce, and honey mustard. Trey Young says fried chicken breast and bacon. And Abby Dahlkemper says avocado. Taking a stand. The players who took part in this summer's protests were the latest in a line of activist athletes. As demonstrations against the unjust treatment of black people were held all over the United States this summer, countless athletes took to the streets to join in the protests. Speaking out on social matters hasn't always been easy for athletes. Taking a stance on a divisive issue might alienate fans or even cost a player their job. 4 years ago, 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, he's in the middle left, began kneeling during the national anthem to peacefully protest the treatment of people of color. He became a free agent following the 2016 season, and despite being in his prime and having a successful track record, no team offered him a contract. In the 1990s, Charles Barkley took part in a famous advertising campaign in which he stated, "I am not a role model." That hasn't always been the case, but now, more than ever, the notion that a player shouldn't use their visibility to advocate for causes has become outdated. Athletes such as Damian Lillard of the Trailblazers, former NBA player Steven Jackson, and Von Miller of the Broncos marched with protesters. NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace drove a car with a decal of white and black hands joining together. And after he called on NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag from its track, the governing body did so, proving that an athlete's voice has the potential to bring about real change. It's a message that hasn't been lost on Hawks guard Trey Young. For me, being a basketball player and the way I'm looked at, I know I have a lot of privileges, he said. I'm looked at a certain way, and I know I have a platform. Being a black athlete is definitely something I'm aware of, and I know it's something I need to speak out on. I know I'm not just a basketball player. I'm a role model. Protests. We wanted to let the world know about the problems of black people. We believe we were right. We do it again tomorrow. John Carlos, 1969. Power move. Perhaps the most famous protest in the history of sports took place in an event that prides itself on being free of politics, the Olympic Games. But the late 1960s were an especially turbulent time, when two United States sprinters, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, finished first and third respectively in the 200 meters in the 1968 games, they decided to make a statement. And they stood on the podium for the playing of the national anthem. They were barefoot, with their exposed feet representing black poverty. When the anthem began playing, each man raised one fist with a black glove into the air, signifying black power. It was not a gesture of hate, Smith says. It was a gesture of frustration. The reaction against them was swift. Both men were suspended for the United States team and thrown out of the Olympic Village where the athletes lived during the games. The International Olympic Committee threatened to suspend the entire United States team if Smith and Carlos weren't punished. Smith and Carlos were subjected to death threats, and one newspaper writer called them black-skinned stormtroopers. More than 50 years later, though, the gesture is recognized as one of the most powerful moments in sports. But there was a hitch. Carlos forgot his pair of gloves. The third man on the podium, Australia's Peter Norman, who had finished second, suggested that they split Smith's pair. That's why Smith is raising his right fist and Carlos is raising his left. Norman did more than that to be an ally. He wore a pin for the Olympic Project for Human Rights, the organization that planned the protest. That act caused Norman to be roundly criticized in Australia, and he wasn't picked for the 1972 Olympics despite having qualified. When Norman died in 2006, Smith and Carlos went to Australia to serve as pallbearers at his funeral. Trailblazer Jackie Robinson broke the baseball's color barrier in 1947, but that was hardly his only contribution to the civil rights movement. Robinson used his fame to speak out against segregation, the practice of keeping people of different races separate. In 1958, he served as an honorary chairman of the Youth March for Integrated Schools in Washington, D.C. He and a crowd of 10,000 people marched to the Lincoln Memorial. When he became the first black player inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1962, Robinson donated the proceeds of a dinner held in his honor to a project to help register voters. Looking forward, with the United States on the verge of war in Iraq in 2003, a player in a small program made a big statement. Tony Smith, a senior guard for the Division III Manhattanville College, protested by turning away from the flag during the national anthem. "I feel that blindly facing the flag hurts more people," said Smith, who was from a multiracial family. "There are a lot of inequities in this country, and these are issues that needed to be acknowledged. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and our priorities are elsewhere." Smith, who received 10 death threats, now worked for the New York Civil Liberties Union, fighting to strengthen public education. Doubling down. In July 2016, several WNBA players wore black T-shirts in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. The league responded by fining three teams $5,000 each and assessing each player a $500 fine. That just made the players' resolve stronger. They refused to speak to the media about any other topic. "We want to be able to use our platform, use our voices," said Liberty Guard Tanisha Wright. "We don't want to let anyone silence us in what we want to talk about." The league ultimately rescinded the fines, and in the 4 years since, WNBA players have continued to be among the most vocal in all of sports. Jeremy Lin, trending, Beijing's Ducks guard. After injury derailed his NBA career, the former All-Star took a step he always knew he would, playing in China, where he remains a megastar. With his hoodie raised high, his ball cap tugged low, and his mouth and nose hidden behind an N95 mask, Jeremy Lin strode incognito through the Beijing airport concourse, or so he assumed. On March 19th, he was fresh off a flight from Los Angeles, heading to rejoin the Chinese Basketball Association's Beijing Ducks after nearly 2 months of hiatus due to the coronavirus. The former NBA guard was flagged down by an employee in a white hazmat suit who was stationed to ensure travelers receive proper medical checks before entering the country. Cultural icon, picture of Jeremy Lin. Lin is wildly popular in China, where he's led his team to 19-11 record. "Man, he could barely see my face, and he still recognized me," Lin says, sounding slightly impressed. "He was like, 'Can you sign?' So I was like, 'For sure, I'll sign your hazmat suit.'" Halfway around the world, Lin's sanity is alive and well. Not only do fans swarm Lin 31 at every turn, but they're always giving him random stuff, too. "Every trip, it was like I needed to bring a suitcase just for all the gifts," he says. "It was unbelievable." Many are generic tokens of affection, stuffed animals and tasty treats, cool hats and colorful iPhone cases. One group gave him moisturizing lotion after noticing a picture that his hands looked dry. Out here, he says, this season has been the closest thing to Lin's sanity in New York. 8 years after his breakout run with the Knicks captivated an international audience, it's not as if Lin had been forgotten back home. Last June, he made history as the first Asian American to win the NBA championship, lifting the Larry O'Brien trophy with the Raptors. Still, his star is shining brightest in Beijing, where Lin continues to live in his stuffed animal stuffed apartment while practicing each day with the Ducks and waiting for the CBA to resume. Lin has no regrets about his decision to leave the NBA and go to China. "I had to get away to refine myself, rebuild myself, redefine myself," he says, "and I don't even flinch when I say I generally think I'm better than I've ever been before." In a sense, Lin is exactly where he always pictured himself winding up one day. China is his maternal grandmother's home country. The idea of playing there began taking shape as his NBA career faded amid a string of injuries. He played for 8 teams, none for longer than 2 years. "So many of these really heartbreaking moments," Lin says. "But through it all, the love never wavered overseas. I just felt like before it was all done, I wanted to play at least one season in front of the fans in China because of how much they've supported me. He pauses. I didn't expect it to be so soon. Family roots. Not long after the Raptors celebration, Lin was hit with a harsh reality in free agency. No NBA team wanted to sign him. It was really, really difficult for me, Lin says. I had so many dreams and ambitions to not see so many of them come to fruition. It's a bit heartbreaking. Granted, he could have done far worse for a safety net than the CBA, where import players are given multi-million-dollar salaries and prominent roles on offense. Those things awaited Lin after he signed with the Ducks in August 2019, but he also discovered something that he didn't expect. As I went through the season, I was able to see how these injuries and crushed dreams have really affected me, he says. I realized in certain situations where I used to not think, I was now more fearful, more hesitant. I had to reconcile a lot of things from my past to get to where I am today, where I'm playing so confidently and freely and joyfully.
You've been listening to Sports Illustrated for Kids on the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have questions or comments, give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. You can also visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.